How about this podcast? How about we do one of them?
Well, we're all here, apart from Matt, so we'll just have to match it up.
Exactly.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Hello and welcome to the Webcomics Company podcast. Today we are posing the question, are comics colleges any use? Education in comics is not exactly a new thing, but certainly it's becoming more and more available. Comic book colleges have become more numerous over the last decade, from dedicated colleges like the Center for Cartoon Studies and the Joe Kubert School, to cartooning courses in the School of Visual Arts in New York, to the Sequential Art course in Savannah College of Art and Design. There is a dearth of them. Wait, is dearth? But there's a lot or few? Who knows?
Dearth means few. I think what you mean is there's myriad.
There's a myriad. Thank you. That's such a good word. I'll put it into my word day calendar.
I learned it from Pink Floyd.
Oh, what educators they are. Okay. Basically, we're wondering this week if these programs can be truly valuable to a person pursuing a career in independent comics. But just before we begin, I want to remind you that each week we post a preview blog for the next week's episode on our website, webcomics.co, where you can comment and share your own thoughts. We take the best, most insightful comments and talk about them on the episode. And guess what? This week's episode is no different. So we'll be hearing from some of you guys what you had to say about comics colleges throughout the episode. I've got it all lined up. I am Luke Keeley of LukeWHeeley.com. This week, I'll be running the show. Quick interjection to myself. We are rotating who's in charge of the show each week. Last week, it was Luke Searle. This week, it's me. Next week, it's going to be Zoe. Week after that, it's going to be Matt. So you get a nice friend, Robin, of everybody talking way too much. I am joined, of course, today by Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com.
Hello, I'm Luke
Searle of LukeSearle.com. No way. And Zoe Robinson of ZoeRobinson.com, where you can find links to all of her projects, including Britain's oldest webcomic, Knob Mouse. Hello, Zoe.
Hi there.
Hello. Huzzah. So, also, here's another thing before we begin. Doing a lot of things before we begin today, but it's good to get it all out of the way so we can get onto the hot podcast action. Like we needed a triple X domain name for a second there. Oh, God. Oh, man. Someone should register webcomics.xxx. There's a gold...
Wait a minute. Luke, what have you done with Matt? Where's he gone?
Oh, I destroyed him in a fit of envy. Matt is at a convention this weekend, so we are recording without him. Matt, of course, is the creator of Moo and Keo at... I want to say you can find all of his stuff at mattdyson.com. Or matthasawebsite.com.
Yeah,
that's
can.
The place to go. Matt has a website. Go look at that. It's got things on it, I'm sure. Certainly, it has the stuff on it. So, we're going to start out, I think, pretty broadly. Let's throw a little bit of a controversial, maybe not controversial, there's certainly another argument on the internet about it. Sorry. I have to interject again because previous, so long. In the interest of complete transparency, I'm going to say right at the top so that I'm going to be attending a comics college next year, the Center for Cartoon Studies, which is very much the reason why I chose to talk about this topic, because it's something I'm really interested in. So now that that's out there, let's start out with something really broad. Zoe, can you even teach art?
Yes, you can teach. You can teach art to a certain extent. You can also teach the ability to create art, but if you don't have the talent in you to take what you've learned and produce something unique, then you're never going to succeed, even if you study for a long time. So you can teach art but not the same way that you can teach maths.
Okay, so maybe what you're saying is that you can teach craft, but not arts.
Yeah, that would be a better way of saying it.
Okay, cool.
I, if we come to a cast iron definition of what art is in this podcast, then we have done very well. what is art?
Oh my God, there's where I wanted this topic to go straight away. What is art? It's really so difficult with what we're talking about. Art is beauty, you know. It's life. Okay.
I would have a definition that art is something that's without purpose other than itself. For example, a painting is a painting. It's not a car or anything like that. It's there for its own enjoyment, and it's not going to enhance anything apart from the aesthetics.
How much of this discussion, Luke, are you allowing to spill over into general art schools? I think a lot of people come into cartooning from doing general art schools or something along the lines of graphic design, which isn't cartooning, because I think that is fairly new and fairly rare.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's true. I thought at the start of the show we could talk a little bit about just sort of, you know, going to art school in general, because I know that a lot of people, people have really mixed opinions about it, or I guess that people don't have mixed opinions. People have very differing opinions about it. So I thought maybe we could start off with that for a good sort of 2 minutes and then roll right into cartooning. But, you know, okay. Here's why I wanted to start out here. I think comics, more than a lot of sort of more conceptual art forms, can be viewed easily as a craft. I don't think anyone's going to argue that you can very easily be taught how to improve your figure drawing, how to accurately capture an image, how to compose a scene, etc., etc.
Oh, I'll agree that. And I actually, think, when you were saying that cartooning and art are kind of separate, if you know German and you know the words for cartoonist and artist, they're very different, because cartooning is considered a craft, whereas art is considered an art.
And I find stuff like that really fascinating, those little distinctions that people draw.
Mm.
Draw, get it? Draw, art.
That's the sort of thing I say.
Oh no, I'm stealing your shtick.
Are we going to have some Luke on Luke action here?
Oh god, first the triple X domain and now this. We need to steer it away from this really quickly. How about a U-turn? Okay. The main thrust of this episode, or the main thrust of the question that I put up in the preview blog, webcomics.co, go check it out if you want to, is going to school to learn cartooning or how to make comics, is that more beneficial than just putting in the same amount of time under your own steam? Because... go ahead.
Would you actually put in the same amount of time under your own steam? In terms of... how long are you going to be at this cartoon college? Is
it 2 years.
2 years. Over there, if you went to that cartooning college with whichever funding you've got, you'd probably have to have a real job for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get in probably at 40 hours a week at, say, 50 weeks a year. You're going to get in 2,000 hours of drawing practice every year. I assume you've probably heard of the 10,000 hours theory.
Haven't, but I'm fascinated.
It's one of these rules of thumb that it takes 10,000 hours of practice to get really good at something.
I like that.
It sort of makes sense. If you work it out, it's about the level of practice you'd have after finishing a degree in something.
Okay.
I think if you weren't going to this college, you probably wouldn't get those 4,000 hours. You'd probably likely to get 1,000 hours in those 2 years.
That's
in terms of sheer just amount of practice you're going to get, you wouldn't really have that opportunity outside of a educational establishment.
That's definitely something that people brought up. I put a message on the Center for Cartoon Studies message board asking some of the current students what they thought about this, and definitely what they brought up is basically that, you know, you have 2 years right there and that's all you're going to be doing with them. So I, to be honest, it sort of seems like that's the main purpose of a lot of art courses, in that basically they give you the time to just really work on it.
Yeah, because let's face it, I run a comic 5 days a week. I probably spend an hour and a half every day on my comic. That's, 7 hours per week? You're going to be doing 40? There's going to be an awful lot more room for practice. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, okay. But that is definitely an advantage of it. However, if essentially, you know, you're going into college, and, you know, this isn't obviously just unique to my case, but you're going back into college, excuse me, and you're making that decision, this is what I'm going to do for 2 years. Could you, if you were in the same position, just say, I'm taking 2 years off from my job, from my regular working life, I'm going to put 2 years into this, and I'm going to learn for myself?
If anyone can do that and stick with it, then they deserve a knighthood, because there are so many distractions. But if you can do it, then fair game. Fair dues to you. But I doubt we'll ever see it.
That definitely is some people brought up that, you know, one of the great things about art school is that you're really immersed in an environment where everybody's sort of doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're like forced to critique each other and all that. Another thing that a lot of people brought up, especially on the website webcomics.co, where people left their opinions, a guy, Dave was his name, he didn't leave a website or anything, so I can't plug it, but if you want me to plug a website, Dave, leave it in your comment there. He made a good point that said it really depends on what kind of person you are. He said that, you know, some people really do have the drive to keep improving and progressing on their own, but that others sort of fall out of practice as soon as they leave education. How true do you guys think that is?
Yeah, it depends on the person. I am the type of person that likes to learn new things, likes to try new things. But I know a lot of people that I was at university with, even, who, now that they've left, are quite happy to go to work, do their job, come home and watch TV. And that's their life, and they're happy with it. So, yeah, it depends on the person.
Yeah, I'm drawing right now, and nobody's paying me to do it. I can do it as much as time allows and my inclination allows as such. I think if there was, I do personally respond quite well to professors breathing down my neck. That is in my real life, I am a PhD student. So I'm learning something different, volcanoes. And it does. There's also the fact that you have professional teaching. Should be able to have most of these access to resources that you may not have. Things on computers, different. Everything from just different sorts of brushes and
stuff. Yeah, the sort of the nitty gritty of it, rather than the picture, I guess, is important too. Something that SMB Hacks, which his name is Ben, I checked on his website. Hi Ben, thank you for commenting. He said that there's crucial stuff that you can learn from others. And that's sort of the sentence that he said, but I'm sort of taking it one step further and saying that you either can't really learn just by yourself by experimenting, or it would be prohibitively difficult or time-consuming to learn. Do you think that's true? Do you think that there's really stuff that you should just learn from other people?
Yeah, I totally agree with him. Just have a look at how long it took for my artwork to get passable. because you can see my entire cartooning career online. And my artwork is terrible from the start right up until the point where I thought, you know, if I'm going to take this seriously, I might actually have to learn how to draw people. And then I got some books on it, and I learned from the books.
In terms of things that you actually need to sit down and... I mean, there is... Some people will probably more violent, quite violent defend the idea that you shouldn't be doing something which is as free and as anarchic as cartooning under sort of formal education should be done. However, I think that without looking stuff up, you are not going to get basic human anatomy and perspective. Basically, art did not discover perspective until about the 15th century. It's just, it doesn't appear to be an innate human thing to when drawing, to have things smaller to go away. It sounds ridiculous, but there was, at some point, I'm probably off by a few centuries, there was no perspective before a certain point in art, which is. So it's just one of those things you do just need to sit down and learn, however you do, however
you
do
it. You might even call it the vanishing point. I am on fire with these puns today. I'm sorry. It's never going to stop. Oh, dear. Sorry.
You're literally I need a second to recover from that. Carry on with that. We'll come round to your house and burn it down.
Luke's right there, though. Perspective is something that you have to learn. I still can't do it properly, as you'll probably see from most of my comics. So I would say, yeah, if you're going to do this on your own, you've got to know what you have to learn. Otherwise, you're never going to learn it, because you'll never realize. And that's the big problem. How do you know what you don't know?
Oh my gosh, that is so philosophical. My mind is blown. I think that, do you think that a critical eye is something that maybe can be taught rather than thought? Or is it something that you maybe just sort of have to be able to have all along, I guess? Or can somebody say, I'm teaching you how to look at what you're doing wrong?
Well, this is one thing that generally you don't get in the sort of comics communities. You don't get the absolute honest truth about what your comic is. Most people who read, one, are going to be self-selecting, because they're going to read because they like your stuff, so you're not going to get too critical. People are also generally decent. And then other cartoonists, people who you may respect or have particular respect for their opinions, generally don't want to lose friends. Because if you started walking around the comic table and putting in a Comics Village at a convention and picking up every book and giving me detailed criticism on everything you saw there, you would be quite rightly considered an arse. However, you're at a Comics Village or an art school generally, you're going to get professors whose job is to tell you that your stuff is terrible. They'll qualify that.
They won't just sort of give a blanket.
Hopefully, they probably just won't sort of chuck stuff on the table. But there isn't many. I think there's any real environment that is in the real world as such for cartoonists to get that sort of criticism. I've seen it attempts to do it sort of before. I don't know any ones that are actually existent at the moment. There's the check out my comics forum and webcomic list.
I have to admit, even there, you won't get an honest response. Every time I go in and have a look, I never want to be overly critical on someone, because they're putting in a lot of effort on the comic already, and I don't want to squash that. And equally, if I ever put in my comics for criticism, the only things I got back were, yeah, or no response at all.
It's sort of something that's quite difficult to do, though. It really does sort of fly in the face of all the social rules you've been programmed with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's something, you know, even though you know that it would be better for somebody to hear the truth. There's some sort of like politeness that holds you back. Maybe it's a fear that people will suddenly start being very honest with you. But yeah, I think that definitely is, it's sort of a, you know, it's not a naturally occurring phenomenon. And definitely that could be one advantage of it. I wanted to bring up briefly about art school in general, in terms of approaching a comics career. Because when you sort of look through a lot of web comics or independent comics, I think that in many cases it becomes quite clear who's had art training and who hasn't. Do you think that's true?
I'm going to say no.
Oh, that's interesting.
I would say the opposite, but then that's partly because I could be surprised at whether I find out that people have had formal arts training or not. People don't really list that. So they don't really look up.
Okay, then let's have a look just in comics in general. Most people in print comics have had art school training. I think of one notable exception, that's Boo Cook, who got his first gig in 2000 AD when he was still drawing his pictures with biros, and the editor actually told him he had to get his arse down to an art supply shop or he wasn't getting any more work. But if you go over into webcomics, I think Scott Kurtz and Dave Kellett have got art training. Mike Krahulik of Penny Arcade, if I remember correctly, he doesn't. He's self-taught. And I think, what's his name from Control-Alt-Delete? I think he's self-taught too.
Yeah.
Mind you, he doesn't actually draw. He cuts and pastes.
Yeah, we don't like him.
Oh, don't we? I don't know him. I think, though, that, you know, if you look at something like Penny Arcade, for an example, you know, if you go back to the oldest stuff in their archive, maybe I need to rephrase that a little bit. I think if... maybe it's more obvious in newer webcomics. I don't know. I think I just frequently get a sense. Like, you know, you look at something and you're like, did this person go to art school?
Oh, here's some odd that didn't go to art school. The guy from The Oatmeal and the guy from XKCD.
Yeah, but that's quite obvious. I mean, it's obvious that now, I mean, XKCD obviously is what XKCD did, basically XKCD about 5 years ago exploded onto the scene, and it pretty much gave a license for a huge raft of low art comics. And they probably existed before, but I think it was really the influence of XKCD. And you get people who produce comics, they mix comics and they do infographic, things that were more described as infographics, using clip art, using in Ryan North, actually Dinosaur Corp is probably the very first example. But you can produce it something which could technically be a comic, or is a comic, with very little art, you can produce it through various ways, especially with if you know how to use your copy and paste buttons. You have to be there. In that case, you're putting all of your effort, all of the concentration into the writing. I mean, the reason XKCD is successful is because the guy is a genius in terms of how he writes it and prepares it. He's actually quite a good artist, if you see some of the times that he moves beyond stick figures.
I think that just as sort of like a sidebar, I think that the trend in like basically like zero art comics, because you know they do exist. I've seen actually a comic that was just essentially like thought bubbles on top of circles, but I think that's so interesting. It's like neo-primitivism or something. I don't know. Love to look into that more, but that's not what we're talking about.
Full disclaimer, I'm pretty sure my comic wouldn't exist if XKCD hadn't started. It kind of gave me a license to go, hey, I can do slightly nerdy comics with minimal art training. I don't really need the art in me. Mm-hmm. first one is, even by my current standards, pretty bad.
I think that that actually this sort of segues into a really interesting point, or a really good point, is that the people who are most successful in independent comics, certainly webcomics, are not the people who have the best training in it. It's people who maybe have just something sort of unique and interesting to say.
That's always been the case, though, with comics. I mean, even going back to when I was in fanzines and things like that, the ones that stood out were the ones that were saying something that hit people properly, rather than just being generic and you just being there because you want to join in.
And it links back to art versus craft. Oh, what a full circle we've come in, people. So, is art something that you can learn? I mean, I don't want to get too philosophical on it, but do exercises like learning the history of art, learning where other people have gone before, help you maybe develop a way of thinking that might lead you onto something new? Or is it just really something that's sort of ethereal and, you know, there's like a spark of inspiration that just comes to you one day?
I'm going to say no, you can't teach art. You can teach everything that reinforces an innate ability, but you can't teach that innate ability.
This is beyond my pay grade. I really don't know. I think there are probably examples out there that you can produce a successful webcomic without something that looks like innate ability. that's incredibly barbed.
I'm going to disagree with Luke there. If you're successful, it's because you have an innate ability. It may not be in producing really astounding artwork, but you're obviously doing something right.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Maybe we're going to just quietly draw a line between successful and good, because the two are not always together.
That's true. Look at Twilight.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Maybe we throw away the idea of what is successful, and we're talking about can art school make you good, or can it make you better at comics than if you didn't go there? I'm going to have to say, my personal opinion is that no, I think that it doesn't make you better than if you hadn't gone there. What I do think is that it would help you progress quicker. Do you think that's maybe true to say? I know we're just going off on like what we don't think with editing, really. Facts with a Z. We need a facts section.
You go ahead. I've talked a lot.
In terms of quicker, I think you might be right. There's nothing particularly any educational establishment can pretty much anything unless they have specific resources that are unavailable.
Yeah.
Can teach you that you can't pick up through books and practice. In terms of getting quicker, though, there is a kind of inherent time limit to getting. If you want to turn a cartoon into a career, you pretty much need to do it before other things in your life are going to take up. If you perhaps want to have a family, say, it's kind of okay when you're in your 20s and you're just messing around with a cartoon in your evenings, maybe taking a few days off work. But if you start having dependents, it becomes a lot harder to do that. And just becoming an adult, in a way, does get in that way. And so if you don't get that time in your early 20s, then you might actually just sort of really run out of time to get to put the time in, to put pressure in before the rest of your life takes up. And so that's going to be very, I don't entirely buy all of that, what I said, but.
You're throwing it out there anyway.
Well, I think it's you kind of look around the conventions, almost basically everybody there is either in their 20s or doing this professionally. You don't get that many amateurs in their 30s and 40s. It just doesn't happen. And maybe that's because comics isn't that popular with people at the age of 30. But it is a thing. There's a drop off and people are going somewhere. But professionals are all ages, up to 60, 70. It is. So yeah, that's my slightly depressing piece.
No, it's fascinating. I think that's great. Well, obviously, I think it's great that people lose their passions. I think that's really interesting information that you've just provided. Thank you.
Can this 31-year-old struggling artist stop now?
Yeah, I do realize that I said that.
To be honest with you, I have to agree. It's unfortunate that anything that you're trying to go for that requires a huge amount of effort and time and practice in order to become good enough to actually start making a living with is going to fall by the wayside if you don't get it all in before something massive comes along. I have to admit, if I had children, I would probably not be able to devote the amount of time I do to practicing and producing my comics, or doing the podcast even. I mean, James has disappeared from the podcast because he's got a child. Children take up a huge amount of time. If you want to go forward in your career, I went self-employed like 4 years ago. If I hadn't, then I'd be at work all the time that I'm doing my comic. So it becomes a case of not necessarily that you can't do it, but you're going to have to sacrifice something in order to do it.
Yeah, that's a good word, sacrifice, because really when you're trying to pursue something that's maybe sort of atypical or unusual, especially in your spare time, you know, you're always going to have to sacrifice something. Like, you know, even myself, I'm at college doing something else, but you know, I've had to sacrifice a lot of free time and money to do the comic work that I've been doing. Maybe schools, cartooning schools, they sort of offer you like a 2-year bubble where you don't have to give anything up, where that's it, you've made the choice, your deal is comics now for the next 2 years, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, you are making somewhat of a choice that you're dedicating 2 years of your life to this end and basically no other end.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think to a certain extent, because you're going back to college, it legitimizes your choice. Whereas if you were working full time and doing the comic on an evening instead of doing something else, like instead of spending time with family on going out and socializing or something like that, you've decided you're going to do comics. A lot of people would, under most circumstances, say, well, why don't you put that aside tonight? Because it's not like it's massively important. Come out and go to the cinema with us and things like that. And then you've got to say, no, I'm doing my comic. Whereas if you're at college, you can just say, right, I'm going to college.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this topic is something that, you know, I didn't expect us to come up with an answer for, because there wasn't really that a question. Are they any use? Obviously, some students have found great success coming out of them. Others have, you know, been happy to have enjoyed the experience and maybe go back to their normal lives. You know, it really comes down to, I think that in a way they sort of sort out the people who would have succeeded anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think there's also a degree of both self-selection and probably selection by the colleges themselves. In that you're not going to get people who are completely casual about it going to the colleges, and also the colleges are not going to accept somebody who's terrible, who's bad already. So, in terms of why, as a considerable number of people, considerable proportion of people who are quite successful in comics have gone to art school, it's also because that. If you are 18 and kind of want to do art, it's chickens and eggs, basically.
Yeah, sort of. So do or don't do art school, children. That's what we're saying. We're certainly saying something. I'm not sure what it is, though.
It's like Schrodinger's career. You either are an artist or aren't, and you're going to art school or you aren't, but you don't know unless you open the box.
I don't understand that.
I think I kind of lost my way after I said Schrodinger.
You know, a box was definitely involved.
There was a box. Someone opened
definitely
it.
Definitely a box. So, I think that we've had certainly a discussion transpired on a topic on a podcast for the internet. Those are facts.
Yes.
Definitely. 100%. Have we come to any conclusion?
That was a question.
I think we might have come down perhaps to battery on the idea of you have to go to art school. There are people out there who make a living out of either through self-teaching themselves very good art or finding a way to bypass that. So I don't think it's, I don't want to say, you could say if you're not going to art school, it's hopeless.
Oh, no, not at all.
I think it is a good way, if the opportunity is available to you and you are serious that you want to dedicate this amount of time to it, it is a good way to spend 2 years of your, 2 or 3 years of your life, if that's what you want to do. I'll just say one more thing. I had a friend who's considering higher education for something else. And she didn't, oh, I'm going to spend several years in the States, actually. Yeah, but what else would you want to do for the next 3 years of your life? So, this is what I really want to do. That's quite an interesting question. What else would you want to do if not that?
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, in the end, this sort of topic, here's where I'm about to bring in some stuff that's going to be good. You'll like this. Okay. I think that this topic, or the way that we've discussed this topic and handled it, is sort of indicative of how the new show is going to work. Because we introduced a topic, we talked about it, we gave our opinions, we brought in some of your opinions, the listener, and we don't really come up with an answer because we're not really trying to come up with an answer. We just like to talk about comics and the comics industry, and that is that.
Yeah, and I
hopefully
agree.
It's interesting to listen to.
So if you, the listener out there, have comments on this, or frankly on basically anything we've ever discussed, get in touch. Leave a comment on the website. Go to webcomics.co. There are lots of ways of getting in contact with us.
Yeah.
Whichever way. Is best for you, including carrier ferret.
We've yet to receive one, though. I think maybe we need to update the PO box. That's the thing, right? PO box. Okay. Zoe, why don't you just tell us about what we're going to be doing next week?
Okay, next week's topic is copying from others. How much is too much? Hopefully a controversial topic that we'll get some discussion on, but my idea is everyone is either influenced by or has taken some kind of style from everyone else. No one comes to this fresh out the box, so to speak, but how much of that is too much influence to the point where you start copying?
How much? Why don't you tell us right now? On webcomics.co. If you're listening to this on the website, then you've probably already seen that the preview blog for the next episode is up right now. If you're listening to this on iTunes or in an RSS feed, then go to webcomics.co and leave a comment underneath telling us what you think. Is that it? Should we wrap it up, guys?
I think the wrapping paper is ready.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Away, because we're wrapping, not unwrapping. Okay, so I would like to thank Zoe Robinson of ZoeRobinson.com.
Thank you.
Sorry, I should be... Okay, and Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com.
You're welcome.
And we will be seeing you guys next week. I also like to mention that Matt isn't here. Matt Dyson of MattHasAWebsite.com. Go check out his things, y'all. We will be back next week talking about how much is too much to copy from others. This is the webcomics.co, webcomics company, webcomics company. Goodbye. Oh. No.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast.
Make sure to cut right at the point where Luke does that sigh.
Oh, you guys.